live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Hey, hey, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going. Yeah, 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 we going. Yeah, 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 we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live. From the 50-yard
line. Hello, beautiful people. I am Jared, the football genius Burgess. And again, we have another guest. And I'd like to introduce this guy to the podcast, Mr. Mike Brown. Tell us a little bit about yourself, man.
Mike Aloysius, bro.
So I got to ask, because you've been saying that since we met my freshman year of college. You were already at Howard. You were a sophomore. And when you said that, I bust out laughing, thinking that's not your real middle name. Is that really your middle name?
Nah.
Okay, all right, okay. I had to ask because you just said it a million times. But...
Yeah, it's just unusual.
Yeah. Oh, so you never told anybody what it is?
Yeah, nah. It's Aloysius is like a Catholic saint or something. But yeah. I just like the name, something different.
I think Aloysius for you is like Bartholomew for me.
Yeah.
I don't know why I love the name Bartholomew.
Yeah.
It might be, what's the name of that movie? Don't Be a Menace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I ain't doing much, man. Just working, helping my uncle's team out. They're making the semifinals. I think they play tomorrow.
Okay. What sport?
Football. Baltimore okay. City College. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They're doing real well. This is first season as a head coach. So.
Dope.
Yeah, man. Teaching them fundamentals throughout the season, man. It was good to be back out there.
Man, so I got to tell this story. If you guys can't tell already. I think I gave it away in talking about your middle name. Mike and I were teammates at Howard University. That's where we met. And I got to tell this story because I'm actually going to send this clip to him. So George Walker, who was one of our equipment managers at Howard University, loved himself some Mike Brown. Mike Brown could do no wrong in his eyes. And nothing that I did could top anything that Mike Brown did. And so this was your senior year, my junior year. We were playing at Charleston Southern. And so that game was probably one of the better games of my career. I think I had like 2 sacks. I had an interception. And I vividly remember. Now, George used to ride me all the time. And he would say stuff like, you know, you all right, but you ain't no Mike Brown. So I come back to the sideline after catching this interception. I ran it back probably about 20, 25 yards. I thought I was going to score. I'm not even going to tell the people that you missed the block to help spring me to score. Yeah, and so I get over to the sideline. Everybody dapping me up. Everybody celebrating. I walk over to George Walker, and the first thing he says to me is, Mike Brown would have scored.
He's just trying to make you better, man. Trying to hold you accountable.
George Walker loved him some Mike Brown and could not stand Jared Burgess.
Hey, George, good people, man.
Yeah, he is. No, I love George, man. So shout out to George Walker. Shout out to Howard University.
Yeah, find out he don't even look that far from me. So
really,
I gotta hit him up.
Yeah, man, you gotta hit him up, man. You know, next time I come home, we gotta get up with George Walker, man, and see how he's doing.
Sure.
And I think when everybody got together and went to the game. Did you go the game where Howard played Hampton at Audi Stadium?
Yeah.
I think they said that he was there. Did you get to see him?
Yeah, George was there.
Okay. I didn't get to see him. I didn't come up there, but so I hadn't seen him in a long time.
That the Howard Hampton game was good times, and the Bethea retirement joint.
Yeah, I mean, I miss both of those. And I hate that I did, especially the Bethea retirement celebration, man. Because I saw that y'all had a real good time.
It was great.
Yeah. I saw a clip of Cheese giving his speech.
Somebody was crying.
I think it was Foots. I heard it was Foots. Well, all right, man, let's go ahead and jump into this podcast because we can sit here and reminisce all day.
Let's get it.
So this is episode 136 of the Feel to the Real podcast. And as you guys know, we always start off with who's really right. So our who's really right for the day is, are the Chicago Bulls, as presently constructed, a championship contender? And so as our guests, I have to let you go first, Mike Brown. What you think?
All right, yeah. Man, they got them young boys, dog. What? They can all play, but I don't think they got the experience. So I think they'll get to like the second round of the playoffs. Uh-huh. But I don't have them beating like a Brooklyn or a Milwaukee or even Atlanta. Atlanta got some experience now in the playoffs. Trae Young probably gonna cook every last one of them if they may face them in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know, he got real clutch last year, real clutchy. Yeah, yeah. But Lonzo Ball, the boy shooting lights out. Yeah. They got Caruso, Ball, right. White Jordan. who else they got? Zach LaVine. He a monster. So if I was in the East, if I was a team in the East, I'd definitely be kind of worried about Chicago.
I think what we're missing, right, and you say that those guys don't have any experience. You just mentioned at least one player, and I know of another that you missed that has some experience in the playoffs and the championship. Alex Caruso has won a championship, and I think that they can rely on that. Because he's playing some real tough minutes. And DeMar DeRozan is not a slouch. And I understand that they couldn't get over the hump when he was in Toronto and they got him up out of there. But he's played in some big games, and I think that they can rely upon them too for that experience. And so I definitely think they're championship contenders. I think the way that they're constructed now, they can beat Brooklyn. They can beat Atlanta. I think that the one-off that Atlanta got, I think the one team that I'm more afraid that they can't beat is probably Philadelphia.
I'll say this. They're going to need somebody to carry them. Ain't going to.
No.
It's going to have to be Zach LaVine carrying them through playoffs. Mm-hmm. They may end up like Jimmy Butler in Miami, that bubble year.
Okay.
Where they kind of like slipped through the finals.
Exactly.
I can see them doing something like that, but if they stay healthy.
Right. Well, think about that Suns team last year. Like, I mean, I guess you could say Chris Paul, but Chris Paul had never been to the finals.
But that was all Chris Paul, man.
Yeah, so I feel like the way the team is constructed.
The whole season, that was all Chris Paul.
The whole season?
The entire season. Like, he should have won MVP. What he did with that team. Booker, he can go.
I agree.
But Chris Paul made that difference, man.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, Shatown, who else they got? Zach LaVine. They got some other ballers on their squad.
I think the way that they're playing, like I was having a conversation with somebody and they compared them to the Knicks from last year. And I'm like, no, this team is better than what the Knicks were last year. And I understand that they came out of nowhere.
By far.
Yeah. But nah. So Nikola Vucevic, Javante Green, Lonzo Ball, DeMar DeRozan, Alex Caruso, Zach LaVine, Derrick Jones Jr., Tony Bradley. Troy Brown. This is a nice, solid team. I think they may need one more piece.
You know who nobody's talking about?
Who?
The Wizards.
I don't want anybody to talk about the Wizards.
Yo, the Wizards are like number one in the East, man.
Exactly. I don't want anybody to talk about the Wizards because even though we're number one in the East, nobody really knows that, right?
Yeah, no, not one soul.
and nobody really talks about it. Like, because as you can see, like some of those top shows like First Take and, you know, Undisputed. And
nobody talking about the Wizards.
Yeah, nobody's talking about the Wizards. And so I wanted to stay like that. I want them to continue to fly under the radar, but that's a well put together team.
Yeah, they can go, man. I think here's what I think is going to happen. The COVID restrictions are going to be lifted. Kyrie going to come back, and they're going to lock down the East.
Nah.
You said nah?
Nah.
You don't think the COVID restrictions are going to be lifted?
I don't think that New York is going to lift their indoor vaccine mandate.
DC just said no masks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but DC, you know, I'm not going to say that because I personally got love for the mayor of DC, Miss Muriel Bowser.
Personal.
Huh?
I said, oh, it's personal.
Yeah, no, it's personal. It is. Oh. Yeah. So I got love for her. So I won't openly criticize her for her decision. But, you know, I think that we've seen that her decisions, you know, have to be well planned amongst all of the residents of DC. I'll say it like that. Because I truly got love for her. Huh?
Which residents?
Huh?
I said, which residents?
The ones who pay higher taxes.
The implants.
Yeah.
The implants, gotcha.
Nah, but yeah, man, I think they are championship contenders. Like, I think if they can, you know, and I said in the beginning, presently constructed, so I won't go back on that. I think as presently constructed, they are championship contenders.
Eastern Conference.
Huh?
You talking about Eastern Conference champions?
No, I think all of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, it's hard to ignore what Golden State's doing right now.
Right. Come on, man. And then once LeBron gets back, they can't
stay healthy. And if we're prognosticating, I don't know that team can stay healthy the entire year.
Bro, Tristan Thompson ain't even back yet.
Tristan Thompson.
Yeah.
Tristan Thompson played for Golden State?
Not Tristan. Tristan Thompson.
Thompson don't play for no Golden State. He played for the Celtics, I think.
I mean,
Klay Thompson.
Klay Thompson, yeah.
Klay Thompson. I was like, man, hold on that. Wait. When did that happen?
Yeah, nah. Yeah, Klay Thompson ain't even back yet.
I see that. But I just don't know that team can stay healthy.
I think they're going to stay healthy, man.
I'm not wishing anything bad on them, obviously, but.
Yeah.
Well, and we will see.
Then once LeBron get back.
I need LeBron. I don't know. Russ got to go.
Russ is trash.
Russ got to go, man. He's turning the ball over way too much.
And Russ is trash, dog.
I don't understand, man. I don't understand the rationale for them keeping him.
He needs to go to a team like the Orlando Magic or
the Sacramento Kings.
Sacramento Kings, yeah. Some joint like that, man.
Just go and have your fun playing the game the way you want to play it. But
he done.
His game is not built for championship basketball, and it sucks. KD was completely correct. I still don't agree with his decision to go to Golden State.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I understand now. I get it, KD. I get it.
Not to go to Golden State, but to leave.
To leave, Russ, I understand. Yeah. Look, I completely understand now.
Yeah.
I completely understand now.
He's so inefficient, man. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Like, he don't see himself like, bro, you are like playing like trash, dog.
Yeah.
It was one game in the fourth quarter. He just They're about to get the go-ahead bucket, and my man just threw the ball away. Like, this prime time, dog. He's anti-clutch.
Yeah.
Anti-clutch.
I won't say that, but he, yeah.
And at this point in his career?
Yeah, you're right. So right now, maybe he has some time to get it together. But he was pretty clutch last year for the Wizards. Like, think about it. When Bradley Beal was out, we don't get to the playoffs without Russ going as hard as he went.
Right. And that's what he needed to do here. Like, bro, stop shooting threes. Stop throwing up bricks.
Yeah.
Stop throwing the ball away. Just go hard, get some rebounds, and play defense.
He's not going to do that, though. Let Melo shoot it, yes.
Let AD do his thing. Let when LeBron get back.
LeBron will have to do his thing, yeah.
Yeah. He don't belong on that team.
He doesn't. Well, all right, you guys let us know who you think is really right. It sounds like Mike is saying that these Bulls are not a championship contender, certainly not for the NBA championship, but it sounds like he's saying that they're not a championship contender for the East either. I think they are a contender for both, so you guys let us know who's really right. Am I tripping?
Maybe they can win their division, but yeah.
That doesn't sound like nothing. What is the division title?
division champions.
They'll win the Central or whatever it is in basketball. All right, man. So, when I saw this story pop up on the ticker, I wasn't totally surprised, but I was like, what are you doing? So it's looking like John Gruden is going to sue Roger Goodell and the NFL for what happened with his emails being leaked. What do you think about that?
John Gruden, sir. Like, you've benefited enough off the good old boy network. Like, let it be.
Yeah.
Let it be. You got caught. And the fact that he did get caught is an issue in itself. Like, you were comfortable enough sending an email through your NFL account and thought nothing would ever happen or no one would ever see it. So this is the way they talk. And people were comfortable about it until somebody outed them. And then he says he's going. So I guess he's trying to get his money, whatever. But I guess you can't blame him for that. But, bro, you dead wrong. As a human being, like, come on, man.
Yeah.
The anti-gay stuff, anti-black stuff. Like, bro, you're supposed to be a consummate professional, especially at that level.
Right.
You head coach and you send in an analyst.
He sent all this stuff while he was an analyst.
Yeah. He's wilding out with that one, man.
Yeah.
Defending his actions. So I don't have him getting another analyst job or head coaching job anytime soon.
Nah, it's going to be a while before he gets that. And I think, I don't know if he's still going to get that money that he was supposed to get from coaching, because he signed a 10-year deal, if I'm not mistaken. And I that's the sentiment I got from it. And you just said it, he hit the nail on the head, in my opinion. You said that, you know, he's justifying, you know, these emails and his actions with, you know, doing this lawsuit. Just go away quietly. What happened is, like, nobody was thinking about you, John Gruden. Now you brought it back up because you want to sue the NFL. You feel like you got a raw deal. Now, what he may be trying to do is he may be trying to have the NFL leak all of those emails that they received, because what it seems like, the only thing that came out of that was, I believe it was him and what's the reporter that breaks all of the news in football? I can't think of his name at the moment.
That Rappaport, is it?
Was it Ian Rappaport? No, not Ian Rappaport. I think it was not Todd McShay. What is that guy's name? He breaks all of the news in the NFL. Well, it was really only two people who ended up, you know, getting some backlash for what happened in those emails. And I think that he knows that there are some other emails in there that may implicate other people that the NFL just tried to kind of squelch and push away after they went and got John Gruden up out of there. So that might be what he's doing, but even still, like, it's a horrible PR move. I don't know what else you're trying to do in football or around football, but this ain't the way you're going to get it done.
He just got caught up. He got found out.
Yeah.
The institution of the NFL is racist itself. Just look at the demographics of head coaches and the opportunities that are provided. Like, most of your players are black, but most of your coaches are white. Like, come on, man. They still got their control over the league, man. The ownership, all of that.
Yeah.
He just got caught up, got found out. And so, like, in so many other institutions in this country, they racist.
Yeah, right. Bottom line, they racist. Well, all right, man, let's transition past that, man, because one of the things that caught me last week was all of the upsets in the NFL. Mm. Like, did you see some of these games? Like, I believe you are a fan of the Washington football team, correct?
No,
you're not. Oh, you're not a fan of the Washington football team.
Nah.
My apologies.
Yeah.
But you are a Wizards fan, right?
I would root for them if they, like, making the playoff. Like, I'd be a bandwagon fan if I was a if I was a Wizards fan.
Okay.
If you could call it that.
I don't know if you can. Well, I mean, I guess they haven't ever. I mean, they won a long time ago when they were the Bullets, but they haven't consistently won enough to, you know.
Yeah.
I think so. I asked that because that was one of the upsets from last week. The Tampa Bay Bucks, who at the time were 6-2.
Yeah, that was wild.
And at the time, I'm gonna say we because I am a Washington football team fan. We're 2-6, and so I didn't think that this upset was gonna happen. I didn't even really watch the game. But what I do remember is that last year, Taylor Heineke did a real good job going into Tampa Bay and came close to knocking off the Tampa Bay Bucks. And so after I saw it, I was like, there's something there.
Yeah.
So that was one upset. Right. They figured out something.
And Chase Young got hurt.
Yeah. I hate that. When I saw him limping off, I kicked the TV. And I was hoping that he didn't have a torn ACL. But
yeah,
it's looking like that. So I count this Lions-Steelers game as – I count that as an upset. Even though it ended in the tie, the Lions were 0-8 and the Steelers were 5-3. Upset.
You know, it's the NFL, man, any given Sunday.
Well, that's true. I mean, it's still an upset, though, because I had predicted that the Lions, this year's Lions, would be the first team to go 0-17.
Got people competing. It's midseason, and people still trying to get good film. A player still trying to get good film on themselves for whatever, like, future contracts and all that type of stuff or extensions.
Right.
They're gonna come to play at a minimum. Like, they're gonna try to put some good film out there. For the Lions, they probably ain't gonna give up anytime soon. Especially if they see a team like the Steelers, it's kind of injury prone with Big Ben back there, really can't move. So you can pretty much pin your ears back for the D line and go after him if you can get him.
Right.
If he can't get that ball out.
Right. So the next upset was the Panthers versus the Cardinals. And I'm going to tell you what I thought that was all about. Cam Newton getting signed. I don't know if I see a repeat performance.
But like, remember, Kyler Murray's out too.
Kyler Murray was out. And I think a couple of – was J.J. Watt out?
Yep, J.J. Watt was out.
There's a couple of other players that were out, but I still didn't expect 34-10. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, not like that. But they couldn't. But I think when they got punched in the mouth, they couldn't do that bounce back like they used to.
Yeah.
As easy, because you know Kyler Murray could punch some points up there, put some points up there pretty quick, without any kind of hesitation. So I think that's the piece they were missing. Like they ain't had that fight. And that probably would have balanced out some of Carolina's points. Probably took a touchdown away from them. So,
yeah. All right, Vikings Chargers. Did you count this as a upset?
No. I mean, they're both pretty decent teams.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say pretty balanced. So I wouldn't favor either side. As far as like betting, I mean, you got your pieces there, big pieces, but I think who hasn't had as big of a season as he did his rookie year was Justin Jefferson. As much of an impact.
That's true. I counted it as Vegas counted it as an upset because the Vikings were +3.5. And so I didn't, you know, the Vikings had come into that game 2-5 and the Chargers came in 5-2. And I know that in the grand scheme of things, that didn't necessarily mean anything, but the Vikings have been kind of, you know, underachieving. They've been underachieving this year. I felt like that team was good enough to at least contend for, you know, an NFC North championship.
For sure.
Eagles Broncos. Eagles won 30.
I think you can call that an upset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
I certainly didn't expect that.
That's kind of like it gives me that Tampa Bay Washington football team vibes.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That one's supposed to happen.
I agree with that. And our last one is the Niners over the Rams. I don't know what that was about.
Yeah. You know who got exposed that game though?
Who?
Von Miller. Von Miller is he on his way up out of there, man. Out of the league.
For real?
Yeah, man.
He was that bad? I didn't watch the game. It was that bad?
It's not that he was that bad. It was just his impact isn't there anymore. Like, you know how he's like, I'm used to seeing him like kind of unstoppable. Especially on pass rush.
Yeah.
And that was not the case. And I think it's because he's playing more of a DN role as opposed to that edge rusher.
Right.
He's got play to run pretty heavy, and that is not his thing. That is not his thing.
Yeah, that's no good. I think the Rams thought that they were like getting a nice piece, making that trade for him. So I wonder, like, what's the thought now? Maybe that was just a one-off. Maybe that game was just a one-off. You know. No? What'd you think?
What was this, second week with them?
First week, I think.
Maybe a second week because it was a. No, you're right. I think Odell's gonna fit in nice eventually. I think he's gonna fit in nice. I think he'll be all right.
Okay. Yeah, I was hoping he went somewhere like LA, and so now that he's with Matt Stafford, I'm glad that what I'm saying.
I think they're gonna find him. Yeah. I think they're gonna find him when he's open.
Right. All right, man, let's move on to this next story with Shaka Rodriguez, man. Stories like this annoy me, and I shout out to Stephanie. She sent me this topic, and she knows that I hate this stuff when, something happens and people start threatening you on social media and threatening your family. So Louise Shaka Robinson is a player for Mexico International, and they had a World Cup qualifier against the United States. And so they lost. And mm-hmm. so people started on social media, started threatening his wife and his family because of the loss. Like, what do you think when you hear, huh?
That's what they sign up for. When you play down there in them Central American countries and stuff, man, that's kind of what you're signing up for, man. Soccer is life out there, or football. Football. That joint is life out there. They do not play. They get the cartel and all that stuff involved. So you start playing, you ain't in the States or Canada or I would say European country, but they take it just as serious. Them death threats gonna come, bro. I think it was Colombia or something. They ended up killing some of their players like some years back.
Really?
This was like, I want to say during that whole Medellin cartel empire. But man, you got to know what comes with the territory. You can't act. I mean, I get it. Mm-hmm. You don't want to have that kind of pressure on your family and on you where your life is threatened for playing football. But that joint comes with the territory down there.
Well, I don't think it's unique to that area. You know what I'm saying? I think this is just social media culture where people are threatening you on social media. Not necessarily that, you know what I'm saying? I know how it goes in Mexico and some of, you know, those countries. I already know how it goes. I'm just saying, like, the whole social
media. Those Sicarios are real, man.
Huh?
Those Sicarios are real.
Oh, yeah.
The contract killers?
Yeah.
Contract killers, that stuff is real, man. You pissed off the wrong person. That might be a wrap. They might be chopping you up, man.
Don't expect me to.
What do you think he should do, though?
Well, I certainly think he should protect him and his family. You know what I'm saying? Because, like you said, like, that stuff is real down there. But, you know, the folks that just be threatening people on social media is just my annoyance. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my annoyance. Like, come on, man. Like, you threatening my family because of a game on social media.
Yeah, that's that internet gangster stuff. But down there, I don't know if it's that much of an empty threat. Because they got so many people willing to take you out.
True. Right? And
that's tough for his family. What would you tell your wife at that point?
I don't know. So his response was like, you know, please don't write anything else to my wife. You know what I'm saying? Like, direct your hate and vitriol and all of that toward me. Don't write that to my wife. You know what I'm saying? I think but I would explain.
He's going to feel it either way, though.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think I would have to have the conversation. I would certainly protect my family, but I would have to have the conversation with my wife, like, just, hey, ignore this stuff that's on social media.
Yeah, she almost got to get off of social media.
Exactly. Do a blackout. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Especially after you taking L's in games.
Yeah. Nah, that's... Folks is real serious about their sport.
Yeah, they probably got hire bodyguard and all that kind of stuff. Or security. Like, it's real. They probably got armed security with them, like, 24/7.
Well, some of them dudes make enough money to have him. Like, I'm not sure who he plays for professionally, because this was a, you know, kind of a World Cup qualifier match.
Yeah.
But them guys are making real good money in soccer or in football.
Yeah. I won't want to mention the family's name, but it's an NBA superstar. His wife and kids were out at Dave and Buster's out here in Capitol Heights. And they didn't have any security, but they definitely should have.
Really? Why did you?
I can't imagine.
Do you think people like recognize them and were like coming up to them? Like, is that kind of what happened?
I think if they did recognize them, it could be a whole problem.
Oh, okay.
It could be a whole problem.
playing for the fact that somebody, well, I can kind of see it from another way. So you playing for the fact that somebody may recognize you and it may be a problem, but also if you're walking around with these big bodyguards, if you're walking around with some armed security, you're going to draw more attention to yourself.
Yeah, I can see that too. But maybe have somebody kind of low key, kind of laying back, just kind of watching the scene and watching the vibe so you don't have to.
Yeah. So you don't have to have your head on the swivel.
Yeah, maybe they're not actually like walking with them, but like kind of steps ahead or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, man. That's a tough situation to have your family in.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it kind of comes with the territory, so you kind of got to expect it. Maybe the country can take some steps to kind of protect them.
Yeah. And they probably should with something like this.
Yeah, or put out some kind of legislation where you can't threaten national players
right.
online or something.
Or are they going to be able to...
I don't know if they... How do we work here? If somebody got threatened here online, I guess it depends on the threat.
I think it depends on the threat.
No, they would definitely take it serious. They talk about, I'm going to kill your family. I think the FBI is definitely going to get involved. It's just on the internet.
Right.
So, yeah. Maybe their FBI is already involved.
What is their FBI called? I feel like I saw it in Snowfall. I just can't remember.
I know the members get paid off, though.
Oh, yeah. Especially down there.
Same here.
Yeah.
Same here.
They do a better job of hiding here.
You're right. Yeah, that's all that is. All right,
man. This is the real roll call. And so basically, we're going to breeze through these topics. These are topics that, you know, we would normally kick out of the show because we don't have enough time to go in depth about them. But we thought it was a good idea to, like, keep these and, like, talk about them quickly and then move on to the next one. So the first thing is Tony Romo and his comments on Aaron Rodgers. So basically, he's been getting dragged all over social media because he applauded Aaron Rodgers for taking responsibility over misleading fans about his vaccine status and saying that he was immunized as opposed to being vaccinated. What you think about this?
Yo, they villainized my man Kyrie. They put Aaron Rodgers right up there with him. And this man lied. So Aaron Rodgers... Bro, you're a liar, bro. I'm surprised nobody's like really, really called
him. Yeah, like bro,
you're a liar, dog. Like, come on, man.
We talked about this last week about them not keeping that same energy, the media not keeping that same energy for Aaron Rodgers that they had for Kyrie Irving.
That's that good old boy network, man.
Yeah.
Especially Tony Romo. Right. Like trying to look out for Aaron Rodgers. Like, man, I ain't a fan of Tony Romo anyway after he did T.O. Dirty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a Washington football team fan, so I ain't never been a fan of Tony Romo.
Yeah, man, that dude trashed up. And, yeah.
All right, Carlos Correa, he says Derek Jeter didn't deserve any of those 5 Golden Gloves. What do you think about that?
Man, let that man retire in peace.
I think.
Then why are you digging up stuff from 10, 15 years ago?
Right. The craziest part about this is that Carlos Correa is on the list of free agents that the Yankees are trying to go after. So I'm guessing he doesn't want to play in New York.
Yeah, that's probably what that is.
Yeah.
But yeah, Derek Jeter was a dog in the day, man.
Yeah.
He can't take nothing from
him. Right.
I don't even know why he would even have his name in his mouth.
These youngers don't have a lick of respect these days.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's the way it is, though. I mean, they don't have that respect. Like, I don't know if it's your parents or the coaches letting them get away with whatever.
Right.
But that discipline and respect for your elders type stuff is kind of gone, man.
Yeah, that stuff went out the window. All right, so Virginia Tech, in the middle of the season, fires Justin Fuente, who was the head coach that took over after Frank Beamer retired. What'd you think about that?
According to the college football standard or Power Five standard. He should have been gone.
Really?
Yeah, Virginia Tech been trash for since Beamer left.
Since Beamer left,
It was trash before he left.
Right.
Yeah, they gave him way too much time, man. Virginia Tech, like, I don't know what it is about the teams in this area and why they can't recruit the talent that's actually here or keep the talent here or some of the talent here.
Right.
But you got ballers in this area, but nobody wants to go here. To Maryland, Virginia Tech, UVA, Howard.
Yeah.
they gave him a fair shake. He failed at Virginia Tech. It's a college town. He should have had way more success there, man.
True. I'm not a fan of firing a coach during the season. I'm just not a fan of that. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, if you're looking out the best interest for the program, I think it's a good move. Because that way you can bring somebody in early, like say December or something, or so they can start recruiting their next class. I think the earlier the better.
Okay. Well, to me, it's you fire the coach right at the end of the season. Because if you felt the way you felt about him, in order to fire somebody in the middle of the season, you felt this way about him at the end of last season. You know what I'm saying?
They knew what was up.
And so my thing is, why'd you even give him the wiggle room to be even worse this year, right? Because that's already a detriment to recruiting.
I think they said to themselves, all right, if we're not ranked by week, whatever this is, 10, then Fuente, he's got it. He's out.
Okay.
I think they made up their mind and said that. And he ain't produced, man.
He didn't, yeah. I'm certainly not saying that he should have kept his job, but I feel like wait to the end of the season or fire him before the season, not in the middle. Like, I feel like there's a bit of instability that, you know what I'm saying?
The current player.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of the business, though. It's definitely a business move that they made.
Yeah.
They got out of there.
All right. Le'Veon Bell was released. What did you think about that?
I wanted him to do well. I think his time was up, though.
Yeah.
I think running backs have a shelf life. And in the NFL, most of them, I'd say maybe 2-3 years. They get PTSD.
Yeah.
From getting hit.
Hit so much.
Look at Leonard Fournette, man.
Yeah.
I think his best running back days were at LSU. He could have come out earlier. I think he was physically ready to come out earlier if the NFL had allowed it. But banging in the SEC and then banging in the NFL.
Taking his toll on him.
Yeah, my man, he ain't even as physical. He's like more of a scat back there.
Yeah, nah, bro, I've seen that. He done.
Yeah, he's trying to finesse folks now.
I can't remember like, I can't remember that running back for the Giants back when they won the Super Bowl. Was it Brandon Jacobs.
Yeah.
But I expected Leonard Fournette to be like him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And since he's been in Tampa, I don't see that at all.
Yeah, those years, they weigh on him, man. I'm surprised he's lasted this long. And Le'Veon Bell, like, you know, he got that whole CTE thing with the concussions and the mental health stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just need to go ahead and hang it up. I get it, he's trying to make his money, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go ahead and wrap it up, bro.
It feels like that move to leave Pittsburgh probably in the long run. Maybe financially it was good, but in the long run, it wasn't a good move for his career.
Because where did he go? To the Jets, right?
He went to the Jets and got paid by the Jets. Yeah.
And one will ever make that move again.
Huh?
I said no one will ever make that move again.
Nah. Nah, not at all. All right. I'm going to edit that out because that was the last one. All right. On to the real. All right. On to the real. I tried so hard because I could hear Stephanie's voice in my head. Like, stop picking football players and basketball players. So I tried very hard where to look for someone to highlight for this Onto the Real, who did not play football or basketball. And so I found a Korean figure skater. Her name is Yuna Kim. And this young lady, she's competed at the highest level in figure skating. She represented Korea in the Olympics. She, as an athlete, has probably donated more of her money than almost any other athlete. I read a story where it says that her fan base, and this is not even her, her fan base donated $11 million. So
which country is she out of?
Korea.
Something tells me her, she had that money already. I mean,
you think, like, so?
She comes from money. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it says for about 7 years, herself, she's donated consistently $2.44 million. And so people donate, and you hear, so what you hear is people like doing drives where they get other people to donate in their name. This young lady is actually giving up her money. You know what I'm saying? And so now that she, you know, her career is over, she's continuing to donate in this way. And I think this is so dope, you know what I'm saying? Because she's truly putting her money where her mouth is.
Yeah, I mean, she has it, clearly.
Yeah.
She has to give, and most, like, millionaires, and they're not shooting out money like that. I don't know how much money she got, but $2.4 yeah. million, they ain't nothing to
turn away from. Yeah.
Yeah, she clearly got it, and hats off to her, man, for contributing to society like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially when she ain't got to.
Right.
She ain't pulling no Jeff Bezos.
Right. All right. So, feel good final thought. So, this young man, Antoine Jackson, is actually near and dear to Stephanie's heart. And so, as soon as she sent me the story about it, I knew that we had to talk about it. And so, Antoine Jackson is a senior now at Ohio State. He has, since he's been at Ohio State, one of the things that I guess he's known for, one, they call him Hercules, and he's known as a big teddy bear. And so one of the things that he's been doing as a super senior at Ohio State, during the pandemic, he has been feeding the homeless. And when you hear stories like, I don't know what, I think about our experiences, you know, with us being in college. I don't know how much charity anybody was doing around DC. I know for me, I would go and talk to elementary school kids and talk to them about reading and the importance of it and going to college and stuff like that. But to hear like college football players, because to me, it's rare. If people did it, they never talked about it, right? To hear about college football players like spending their time feeding homeless, just wasn't the thing when I was in school, or when we were in school, excuse me. What do you think about this story?
I think people did it. It may not just be as talked about, you know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
Oftentimes, people that do acts like that on a consistent basis, they're not like asking for attention or asking people to follow them. Not to say that he did it in this instance. They probably just found Ohio State PR probably just found a good, probably looking for a good story to push behind one of their players. And they probably found this information out, do some kind of survey or something from their players. But yeah, man. Most of the time, people doing acts like this, they're not looking to for any kind of public notoriety.
Yeah. True.
It's a selfless act, so you're not really looking for all this attention.
Yeah. But so shout out to him, man. You know, continue doing what you're doing. Like, you know, it's dope that you could make an impact in your community. And he didn't even start off at Ohio State. Like, he ended up transferring to Ohio State. But to get there and, you know, really be moved to work with that community and that, you know, the folks of that city in that way, man, is just awesome. And it speaks volumes of his character. So salute to you, Antoine Jackson.
That may help him out in the league because, you know, they look for high character folks.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, he's going to play on the next level because he's also been dogging on the field. So shout out to him. Congrats to you, sir. Yeah. All right, Mike. We got this segment called Show Picks. And it doesn't really matter what you're watching or what you're listening to. But do you mind sharing with us what you've been taking in?
So I celebrated my 13th wedding anniversary in October. And we took a trip. Thank you. It's a grind, but an enjoyable one. So one of the wives on the trip, she mentioned this show called Ready to Love that's hosted by Nephew Tom. It's on the OWN Network.
Yes.
And they had a couple seasons in Atlanta, I think, and a couple in Houston, and now they're in D.C. Man, when I say I'm hooked on this show, it's entertaining. And my heart goes out to all the single folks out there because it's some sketchy. Yeah, sketchy. Disingenuous folks out there that do stuff in the name of love, but aren't really trying to find some love. But good luck to y'all singles out there. It's a good show to watch too, though. If nothing else, get a vibe of what
it's like to be out here,
especially my age group, that 35 to 45 range.
Oh yeah,
yeah, it'll give you a good gauge. I don't know if because they. The people on TV, they may be putting on for TV, some of them maybe, but I couldn't imagine trying to find somebody right now. And that's what I have to look to.
Have to deal with, yeah.
Yeah.
I got to check it out. Like, you know, we know someone who could have been on the show and decided not to do it. And I think it's a good thing that he decided not to. I won't say his name right now, but...
I like watching those shows, man. I watch Ready to Love. I watch Married at First Sight, where they get married, like, without even knowing who the person is. I like those kind of shows.
You know, so this isn't my show pick, but I saw a show the other day called My Pregnant Husband. And it was with trans men.
Oh.
Who have female parts still, but look like men.
Okay, yeah.
And all due respect to the LGBTQ+ community, that was just a bit weird for me. But my show pick... My show pick is a show that I've actually mentioned a few times on here. Queen Sugar. And I mentioned it again, one, because this last Tuesday's episode was really good. But why are you doing your face like that, Mike?
That's your drink? That's your show?
Yeah. Queen Sugar? Absolutely.
Yeah, my wife watched that drink.
You don't watch it with her?
Nah.
So you watch Ready to Love and Real Housewives of Atlanta, but you can't watch Queen Sugar?
They talking about love, man. Queen Sugar be on some other stuff, dog.
What Queen Sugar be on that you don't like?
It's not that I don't like. It's just, it's not my thing.
It's not your cup of tea, okay.
It's not my cup of tea at all.
Different strokes for different folks.
But if that's your if that's your cup of tea, you know. I know you've been down. I know you've been away from the area for a while. So,
yeah. Nah, say what you're gonna say. You've been down in Atlanta for a while.
Do your thing, man. Do your thing, man.
Nah, man. I watch all them type shows though. Queen Sugar,
Greenleaf.
Greenleaf. I watched Greenleaf. Well, you know, so, and you cut this out because I'm sure you watch Greenleaf too. As members of, I was about to say, as members of a mega church, and you know, I grew up in a church that grew into becoming a mega church, and is now called City of Praise Family Ministries. And then having left that church and then gone to First Baptist Church of Glendarden, I always wondered about like kind of the inner workings of the church. And it's like some of the stuff you used to see play out when I was, you know, at my church that I grew up in. But I needed to understand some of the behind the scenes stuff that happened, like in greater detail, because I didn't get that growing up in church.
Yeah, I've come to understand and know some of that behind the scenes stuff.
I'm sorry.
I wish I hadn't. But people are going to be people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, regardless of whatever institution you're in, you're going to have people that fall short from whatever standard you hold them to.
Right.
So, I mean, you just got to kind of expect it, but you want to limit it too. You don't want people just wilding out.
Right. Just doing whatever. And you got to stop putting so much faith in, and this is specifically about this topic, more faith in people than you are in God. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's the problem. Big piece with, that's the problem with caught up. When people see some of these pastors and some of, you know, the stuff that goes on in these churches, they see that, oh man, like these people are supposed to be representations of God and they're doing this, that, and the third. And the reality is, you know, we shouldn't have expected, you know what I'm saying, that from them.
Yeah.
Or some level of perfection that we, you know, we associate with God, that they are incapable of making mistakes or acting a certain way.
Yeah, because you'll disappoint yourself every time.
All right, Mike, we at the end of this one, man. Where can people find you?
They can't. I'm low key on social media, but Mike underscore ABG, Mike Brown on Facebook. I'm on Twitter too, Mike underscore ABG.
Oh yeah, I gotta follow you.
On Twitter?
Yeah, on Twitter.
I hardly ever.
You don't be on there. Oh, okay.
I never tweet. Yeah. I want my wife to run my social media, man, but she won't do it.
Why?
I don't know.
Don't get yourself in trouble. This is going to be on YouTube in like maybe 4 days.
Nah, I'm going to try to get her to do it, yo. Because she definitely has a grasp on it. And I really don't.
You don't really care to. I honestly, I don't either. You know what I'm saying? I have been horrible with running the field to the real podcast, social media. And I'm trying to get better. For those of you who saw me tweet the other day about the Who's Really Right, I'm going to do the same thing. When this episode comes out, you'll see it if you're on Twitter. People will retweet it, thankfully, for those of you. We appreciate you retweeting it. But you can definitely reach out to us here at the Field to the Real podcast. Our email account is field2therealpodcast@gmail.com. Our socials, starting off with IG, is @field2therealpodcast. On Twitter is @field2therealp1. You can go to our Facebook page that always alerts you guys when we come out with new content. And that's the Field to the Real podcast, no numbers in that. And go to our YouTube page, is the Field to the Real podcast. Again, no numbers in that one. Like, share, subscribe, comment, all that. Let us know how you like the podcast. And we truly appreciate you guys for listening. But this is the end of episode 136, and we out. Peace.
All right, my G.
Now put the cameras on me, 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 put the cameras on me.